From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with a great story, followed by your calls with Cheryl. Here's what's happening. New York's Attorney General said that the State Department of Health underreported deaths in nursing homes there by as much as 50%. The report holds New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's feet to the fire for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic in the early months of 2020, after he directed nursing homes in the Empire State to accept patients who had or were suspected of having COVID-19. The decision created an onslaught of COVID-19 cases that infected thousands of elderly patients, those most susceptible, and resulted in hundreds of deaths among the state's most vulnerable populations. That story's going to get bigger and bigger. The U.S. economy contracted at its deepest pace since World War II in 2020 as the COVID-19 pandemic depressed consumer spending and business investment, pushing millions of Americans out of work and into poverty. It was the worst performance in 74 years, the U.S. economy. Peeling skin, swelling in the tongue, and a burning sensation could be among telling signs of coronavirus infection, according to researchers. A team of researchers from Madrid reported on their findings this week, published in the British Journal of Dermatology. They are recommending vaccines not be given to women who are pregnant. That is a major story that has just come out. So take heed. The FDA is recommending no coronavirus vaccines for pregnant women. South Carolina detects first cases of coronavirus strain first seen in South Africa. That's right. The South Carolina officials have announced that the United States' first two confirmed cases of a more contagious coronavirus strain first spotted in South Africa now there. And U.S. cruises not likely to resume until the fourth quarter or early 2022, according to analysts. Let's check in with Kelly Sweeney, our captain. Kelly, that's going to be a long time for cruises, isn't it?
Boy, George, it certainly is. But in other cruise news this year, this week, I should say, the UK-based Saga Cruise Line became the first company to announce that it's going to require all passengers to get a COVID-19 vaccine before they cruise. And this is their first attempt to try to get back into the business. And when they did that and announced that, booking surged. Now, they haven't started cruising yet, but this is what their plan is. I expect all the other major cruise lines to follow. Now, 2021 is already looking up for the maritime industry, George. This week, the Biden administration announced its strong support for the U.S. Merchant Marine, recognizing the essential role that we play in our economy, and in the fifth, as the fifth pillar of our national coastal defense. And I'm hoping that means that the current administration is going to rescind a Trump-era Customs and Border Patrol ruling that cost thousands of American merchant mariners their jobs.
What else is new on the seas these days?
Piracy is ramping up in the southern Gulf of Mexico, of all places, George. In the last couple of years, attacks have increased there by 400%, far surpassing the number off of Somalia.
That's crazy stuff. Kelly, thanks. We love your reports. Captain Kelly Sweeney, our mariner there. Well, Larry King died this week at the age of 87 years old, and his wife has reported that he did not die of COVID. Even though he was in the hospital for 2 weeks fighting COVID, he seemed to have been winning that battle. He died of an infection, sepsis, and passed away at the age of 87 years old. Power naps, they say, could recharge the brain, improving mental sharpness and lowering the risk of dementia. So take a little nap every day. Let's check in with our resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin. Peter, finally some good news about the brain, huh?
Oh, George, there's great news about the brain. The brain is it's a miracle, whether you believe in evolution or God causing it or both. It's an absolute miracle. And power naps or naps are wonderful. But before, I want to address before that the idea of science, because the studies that are in the newspapers, the studies that get all the PR, are such junk that I really want your wonderful audience to be able to know that you just can't believe anything because it's called science. Because this, give you one good example. The test they used in this particular comparison of people who napped and people who didn't was the mini mental status exam. And I'm going to just, and maybe everybody listening will remember this for the rest of their lives because it's so bad. This is the kind of question that document asks. Of 11 questions, here's one.
Mm-hmm.
Show the patient two simple objects, such as a wristwatch and a pencil, and ask the patient to name them.
How does that work?
It's meaningless. Who can't name wristwatch and pencil? Repeat the phrase, no ifs, ands, and or buts. Assuming you're not, been damaged in your vocal cords, who couldn't? The tough one, take the paper in your right hand, fold it in half, and put it on the floor. So, George, it goes on like this. So the study's meaningless.
Yep.
But there is great meaning, and my wife communicated it to me when I talked about the wonderful question you'd asked about power naps, and she said, Ginger said, listen to our bodies. That's what we have to do. And this was a study of older people, not as old as me, but older people. And when you get older, but really all your life, listen to your body. See if it's tired. See if it feels tense. It's such an important way to find out if you need more rest, if you need more sleep. In this study, the people averaged 6.5 hours sleep, and they were 60 years and older.
Huh.
I don't think 6.5 hours sleep would be enough for me at my age. I work hard. I need much more sleep than I used to have. So listen to your body. Care about your body. If you're anxious and tense, then deal with that. If you're if you're achy, deal with that. There's all these different kinds of things that can be affecting our bodies, and pay attention to them. And that would be my lesson for today, but not to listen to the scientists. Listen to your body.
Take a little power nap. Thank you, Dr. Bregan. Peter Bregan. Up next, Miss Ouija Board joins us, Karen Dahlman, as we're going to talk about the Ouija board, keeping you safe and positive during these strange times, and how our consciousness can be our best friend. Karen is next with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Karen Dahlman with us for the next couple hours. Karen is a published author, licensed professional counselor, Ouija board practitioner. She serves as an officer and director of the Talking Board Historical Society, has been using the Ouija board for years, and communicates with the sentient beings in the unseen dimensions. And here she is back on Coast to Coast as we talk about getting through the COVID-19 with some positivity. Hi, Karen. Welcome back.
Hey, George. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back with you guys.
You know, you're absolutely right about how people are feeling these days with COVID-19. You know, they're down, not everybody, but they're down, they're depressed, they're upset. You think there's a better way to pick people up, don't you?
I absolutely do, George. You know, I was on your show not too long ago. We were celebrating the anniversary of you being at the helm of Coast to Coast for many years, right?
That's right.
And so, right, through that process, we were really honoring what we enjoy. We were honoring what the accomplishments were. We weren't looking at what the downfalls were, right? So I really think at this time, what's going on right now, we really need to look at, yes, be honest with what's going on in the world, but also look at what is going on in your life. What are the good things that are happening? And so I got to tell you, George, I'm doing so many readings these days, actually off the board, but a lot of private psychic readings about just how people can really get clarity in their lives to look at what's really happening, where their life's really going, and not so much as, you know, all the bad stuff that's happening. Because there's a lot of things that are happening. It looks bad, but the truth is, we have to really look at the skeletons in our closet on a global level, on a personal level, even on a national level, and really start weeding that out. And when we do that, we start to see what really needs to stay within our lives.
We're going to beat this. And, it's been a tough roller coaster for a lot of people. But I think in the long run, we humans are tough people, and we're going to get through this, Karen.
We are going to get through it. Things don't always look so good. And you guys got to remember, it's not what you see on the outside. It's what you see on the inside. I think what this time is really asking us to do is really in 2020, and even in 2021, I'm going to be honest with you guys, 2021 is going to continue a lot like 2020. We've got to go within. We've got to find our GPS, our guidance within, and not so much without. There's going to be a lot of things falling apart. A lot of things are going to be, fraying at the seams, George. A lot of things are going to seem like, oh, it's all just horrible. But if you can go within and find that locus of control within, that's where you're going to reside. That's where you're going to find your most calm place, as hard as it's been.
And what do you recommend that people do to be able to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there's many different ways. One of the greatest ways to do this myself is to get silent. You know what? Most of the time in our lives, because we live in a really society that's like immediate response, immediate reactions. I can just push a button and all of a sudden I get a play on my YouTube channel, or I get a click on my Facebook page. The deal is this: we got to really go within. What that means is take time, disconnect for a moment, you guys. Disconnect from all these this media we're so involved with. Get off the electronic devices for a moment and sit there silently and just say to yourself, hey, who am I? What's going on? How am I feeling? What would I like to feel? What do I see happening for myself? What do I intend? What do I hope for? Sit, stop, listen, and be with yourself within. I mean, this is not an easy thing for us to do, but I got to tell you, 2020, and people reached out to me and told me the same thing, is what I did. I found myself naturally doing this, just spending a lot more time alone. We were forced to, right? We had to be alone and isolate and all this stuff. But even in 2021, as we start to emerge from this isolation, still don't forget to go within and sit there with yourself and really hear your own internal thoughts, because we're being fed so much stuff on the outside. We don't know what's true, what's real, what's wrong, what's right, what should we do, should we do this, should we do that? We'll be bombarded. And if we just go within and say, hey, what do you think, myself, what do I really feel? Get to that point where you ask for your own internal guidance. What is it I really feel? And then go from that space and start working outwards.
Well, that's great advice, Karen. Do people have the ability to do that, though?
Well, we do. We all have this ability to do this, but it really takes practice. It really takes the time. Are you willing to disconnect from those electronic devices? Are you willing to disconnect from what you're hearing outside of yourself? Are you willing to disconnect from people, what people are telling you, whether it's conspiracy theory or the news or media or whatever you're hearing it from, family, groups, institutions? Are you willing to take that moment away? Now, I know it's like it's not necessarily easy to do this, but if you can start doing it and really listening to who you are, things will shift. Okay, here you go, George. Here's a great way to start doing this. All my clients that I work with in private practice, what I tell them is this: start with a journal. Get a journal and be willing to listen to yourself and write down what you hear. Don't just go, oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm hearing these thoughts. Write them down, because you're going to find over time, if you write them down each time you sit with yourself, you're going to find over time they have messages of really great guidance and wisdom to give to you that's going to help you get more grounded. Okay, the other thing you can do too is get yourself back out in nature when you can. And if you can't go out, now we're able to go out more, you might have to wear a mask or whatever, get out there and walk around. Get your feet grounded on the earth. Really feel that. If you take your shoes off, do that. I'm really lucky, George. I live by the ocean. I could go out there on the beach and walk with my shoes off and touch the sand. There's nothing better than you actually feeling the environment. It gives you, I don't know what it is.
It is like, kind of an infectious feeling, isn't it?
It is. It gets you to like the negative ions on earth, and you imbibe with it, you feel it, you pull it up into your body. It's like it grounds you. And so, yeah, that's what we got to do. We got to find ways to ground ourselves and get away from the media, get away from the electronic devices, really get back to almost, you know, what it's like to be earthbound.
Karen Dahlman's with us. Second half of this hour, we will talk about Ouija boards, folks. And she just loves them, and you know how I feel about them. So we'll get your thoughts on that. And then we're going to take calls with Karen next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. How have you been handling COVID-19, Karen, personally?
Okay, so what I've been doing is exactly what I'm talking about. I really spent 2020 doing a lot of private time by myself. And, of course, we had to. We were forced to. So I took advantage of the opportunity, and I did a lot more meditation. I did a lot more journaling. I did a lot more writing. And I also reached out to a lot of people and just wanted to make sure they're okay. We had a lot of conversations. You know what's really cool about media, though, if you want to use your electronic devices, it's great to be connected with people through Zoom, through Skype, through different, you know, programs and applications that are out there. I was able to connect with people on another level, mm-hmm. although I get to deal with people a lot in person, but to even be able to be with them when you couldn't be with them was really nice to hear their voices. So I really spent time hearing what people were saying, really getting into great conversations, but most importantly, great conversations with myself and really hearing what my inner self had to say.
Well, what I've been doing is connecting with our audience. I mean, this has been, for me personally, my outlet during COVID-19. Not only is it the radio show, but it's the connection with this incredible audience when we take phone calls and open lines and things like that. And it's helped me personally a lot, Karen.
Precisely. Connecting with others really helps. And even though we couldn't do it always in person, that we could do it at least through the airwaves was beautiful. And so I think a lot of us took advantage of that. There's this really interesting concept that, you know, a lot of animals start showing up to people's Zoom phone calls. They would like for example, my cat would always show up. And every time I did a Zoom call with people or clients or shows I was on, my cat would always show up. So people's dogs, animals, pets were showing up because it's like they also want to be a part of this too. They feel that energy, that vibe of humanity connecting in new ways. And just because we can't be in person, we're, like you said, George, you're connecting on the airwaves. People are still really reaching out and trying to find that. So you guys, we can still be very connected when we can't be in person. And George, your show is a great example of that.
How did you become so spiritual?
You know, George, my whole life it's been like this. I've got to tell you, when I came to the world, I had like an imaginary playmate that really taught me about the other dimensions, and I just progressed from there. I really realized there was so much more than what meets the eye, and so for me, it was a matter of just really exploring that. So I started studying a lot of different religions, theosophies, philosophies at a young age, reading everything I could, but even in college and then graduate school, I just started studying everything I could. And from that, I just kind of picked and chose. I'm kind of like, a menu where I just pick and choose what I want to eat at that moment. But I did that in my life for spirituality, and I said, this is what resonates, this is what doesn't. And from that, I really built my own wellspring of how to navigate these times we're in right now, or just even navigate life. It really, you know what it goes back to, George? Believing that I'm connected to the divine and that every single one of us is too. And what I try to do in life is when I interact with anybody, see the divinity within them, because I've already found that within myself.
Interesting take. I had a show last night on the afterlife, Karen, and you are a staunch believer in life after death, aren't you?
100%, George, you know that. I've been communicating since a very young age with the transitions, I like to call them. They're not really dead. They just moved into another realm of existence. It's a spiritual existence where we all came from, where all will go back to. Absolutely 100%. I communicate with them all the time. And what I find is that they're very much alive and with us in this day, in this time. And I got to say this too, George, what I find out from my readings that I'm doing is that a lot of people are actually connected even more so now with the unseen dimensions. They're having a lot more paranormal activity or poltergeist or experiences with people from the other dimensions, such as your deceased, transitioned loved ones, or interdimensional beings. Right now, it's so alive because we have been asked to come within ourselves. We can't go out. And forces us to start looking at what our connections we can have from within ourselves. And George, by the way, all these connections with the other dimensions happens within our heart.
Yep.
And when you're forced to be focused within yourself, you get more into the heart energy. That's the key, George.
And give out your website, Karen. We've got it linked up at Coast to Coast.
Absolutely. KarenADahlman.com or CreativeVisionsPublications.com. Karen A. Dahlman, DAHLMAN.com.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment and, of course, talk about the Ouija board next. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Karen Dahlman, and we will take calls with Karen next hour. Karen, how did you get involved with the Ouija board? How did that start for you?
You know, it started so many years ago, back in 1973. It goes way back, as you know, George. It's just, you know, it was brought to me by some friends down the street, and they said, hey, this really works, and we started using it. And we started speaking to one of their deceased sisters who died shortly after birth, and it just took off from there, George. And, you know, at a young age, you're pretty impressionable, but I just was like, this thing really works. And so I ended up getting one from Santa Claus that same year. And who knew? Who knew that I would still be using the board to this day? I mean,
oh, my God. Turning it into an avocation, for crying out loud.
It's definitely an avocation. It's a passion of mine. And the reason why, George, it's not because it's about talking to deceased. It's not because it's about it's something supernatural. You know what it's about? It's because it allows me to show me. It's like my permission to reach into the unseen dimensions. It allows me to feel like that's the way, or my excuse or vessel to be able to tap into other realms. And so for that reason, I think it's phenomenal as a tool. It's only a tool. It doesn't do the work. I do all the work myself. And in fact, George, these days, the board is like secondary to what I'm doing personally. I'm doing a lot of readings off the board, getting insights and communicating with spirits and the guides without the board too. And you and I've talked about this before, but it's because that was my segue. I'll say that that way. My opening, my segue into doing this work. And being able to understand there's so much more out there than meets the eye. And I want to say one more thing to what we were talking about earlier about what's going on in the world. This is really an opportunity for all of us because we're forced to go within, to separate from people, wear masks, stay home, all these things. What it really asks you to do is start looking to yourself for answers. And I got to say, one of the best things that's come out of all of this, it's a horrible situation, but if I can find that little bit of like spark or light within it, I would say it's asking us to go within for answers, that nobody out there is going to save us, nobody out there has all the answers, and that we really truly can find that within ourselves with truth. And that's what's happening. And the board itself has helped me develop that, to be able to realize I'm not using the board, I'm using myself to reach these dimensions and find answers. The same kind of thing, same correlation.
Have you ever had a bad experience with the board?
No, I haven't, George. And the reason why is because of my intentions, my beliefs. Okay, the board, again, is neutral. It is just a piece of cardboard, a wooden board. Some people make them out of glass or metal. It has nothing to do with anything other than it becomes a talisman, a theatrical piece, if you will, the theater to show us that we're doing something. The truth is, it just becomes an excuse, a way, a vessel, a means to reach and to learn to tap into other levels of consciousness. That's all it is. It's just a tool. So no, nothing has ever negative happened to me for that reason, because I really have approached it from the angle of, I just want to understand consciousness. I just want to understand what else is out there, and can I tap into that? And for that reason, I'm going to always only tap into that which I desire, which I intend. So your beliefs and intentions mean a lot. People say, oh, it's always your intentions. I say, yes, your intentions will reach that which you want to reach, but it's your beliefs. Now, do I believe in something negative coming through? See, I don't, George. The problem is some people do believe, and so therefore they tap into some kind of energy. And often what I find, it's the projection of their own fears that mirrors back.
Does it drive you nuts that when you and I chat about it, you know how opposed I am to the Ouija board?
Absolutely not, because I just want to think about the beauty of humanity. We all have differing opinions. And if we could just accept that and not become divisive or fight over it, that just allows us to, you know, have our own freedoms to express who we are. And that's what I really appreciate about you, George, because I know how you are. I know what you tell me. And you know what? You accept me for who I am. And that's the beauty of, we're a good example of how the world should really be, right?
Well, you remember my story, and I'll tell it to some folks who might not have remembered it or heard it, about my Ouija board experience. Dabbled with it a little bit as a kid, but not much. But when I was doing my local Nighthawk show in St. Louis, in a studio that was pristine, Karen, I mean, nothing ever went wrong with it. Technically, it was clean. Everything worked. And I had a Ouija board in the studio, and I was going to do a segment on Ouija boards. And this was long before I met you. And all of a sudden, in a studio that was always technically perfect, everything is going wrong. We, you know, we would play our commercials on little cart machines, almost like tape machines, where you'd push a button and a little commercial would run on a piece of tape. That thing jammed up. The board where I would hit buttons to go on and off, the lights started going off. Everything went wrong in that studio. So during a commercial that I was able to get on, I told my producer, Howard Morton, I said, Howard, get this board out of here. Just take it away. Get it out of here. And he took it, and I don't know what he did with it at the time. So after the show, and then, by the way, after he took the board out, everything went back on. The lights went on. The machines were working. It was miraculous. And after the show was done, I went, gosh, that was weird. Those boards are strange. What did you do with it? He said, well, I gave it to Daryl to keep. Daryl was our news guy, and he took it home with him. The next day, he got let go from the station. For no real reason, it was just a budgetary cut. And he was out. And I ran into him about 2 weeks later at a restaurant. And I said, Daryl, how you doing? He said, George, not well. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got to be honest with you. From the moment Howard gave me the Ouija board, my life has gone down the tubes. I got fired from my job. My girlfriend left me. Nothing's going right. I said, Daryl, do me a favor. Get rid of the board. He said, I just did this morning. He said, I cracked it up and I threw it in the garbage. And I said, watch your life change. Ran into him about a month later. Had a new job. Had a new girlfriend. Life is good for him. And he's out there doing something now in St. Louis here. But that was my Ouija board story. I've never come across evil with it or anything like that because I had never spent that kind of time with it. But it was the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. How do you explain that?
You know, George, you and I have spoken about this before. The funniest thing about that story, well, it's very interesting, number one, but the funniest thing about it is why do we attribute so much of our own empowerment to a piece of wood?
It was the only thing I could reference that was going on at the time. You know, the studio was all screwed up. The board gets taken out. The studio goes back up online. Poor Daryl. Daryl was fine. He gets the Ouija board. His life falls apart. He gets rid of the Ouija board. He comes back up again. I mean, well, it's the only logical conclusion.
Well, it's not logical. It's actually just trying to associate something and project it upon this event, which is what humans try to do. We try to make sense of anything and connect the dots. I mean, let's look at this. I'm going to say logical because that's what you did. Let's look at this illogical. Let's just look at it from another standpoint. We give our power over to a piece of board or compressed particle. I mean, think about this. Daryl actually ended up in a better situation, and maybe his life was supposed to change and shift, and maybe he actually contributed to that shift. Had nothing to do with the board, just the board was just like a peripheral, circumstantial item, peripheral, again, you know, auxiliary to the whole situation. People always, this is what George will do, they go, oh my God, I drove my car today, I had a flat tire, and then was late to work. Oh, I had a board in my attic. It's got to be the Ouija board. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's just no logical connection, really. We've got to look at We are so much more empowered. That's what I'm trying to tell you about the board. The board does nothing.
Well, is it possible, then, if the individual believes the board will be a portal to evil spirits, then that will happen. But if the individual doesn't believe it, it'll never happen. Is that possible?
Well, this is what I want to say about that. When people believe more negatively to the board, most likely they're not going to use it. But if they do use it, they're going to draw more negative influences to them, and they're going to project more of the negative thoughts upon their experiences. So if you have a board in your possession and you're, like, negative about it and you're thinking, oh, this board is evil and it could cause bad things. I mean, why you would have it around you anyway. But let's say you did, and all of a sudden you have the first bad thing go wrong in your life. The next day you have it in your possession. Like, maybe let's say you lost your job. You're going to go, oh, my God, it's that board. Well, could it not be that the influences of the universe are saying you need to lose your job to get something better in your life? And sometimes things have to fall apart before they be built up again. George, this is what's going on in our world right now. Things have to fall apart to see what's going on before we can rebuild it again. And that's what's happening. Everything's, like, falling apart, right? And we got to rebuild it. Now, do you think a Ouija board's involved with this? No.
Well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. You know a lot of people who have Ouija boards, right?
Has
anything negative happened to any of them, in your opinion?
The people that I hang out with and that collect boards, especially from the Talking Board Historical Society, and these people, George, I have like 55 boards. That's nothing. These people have hundreds, if not 1,000 boards.
That go way back, don't they?
Oh, way back.
Dated ones.
We're talking 1890. Okay, these people have never had an issue with any of their boards and never had anything bad happen to them. Every single one of them that collect these boards. So it's like, yeah, when we want to blame the boards because we don't want to look at ourselves as saying, maybe we contributed to this. Maybe things were supposed to fall apart. Maybe the universe had different plans for us. Maybe God had different plans for us. Maybe the source wisdom has different plans for us. We've got to look at it that way and not say, oh, I'm going to blame this piece of cardboard for what happened in my life. We've really got to be more realistic about this.
Who came out with the board first? Parker Brothers?
No.
Milton.
Way back.
Milton Bradley? Well, was one of those game companies.
George, way back. We're talking Charles Kinnard. Charles Kinnard developed the very first Ouija board in 1890. 91, he had the patent.
What did he do? What did he make it for?
Well,
what was his reason?
Very interesting. This is very interesting. They saw a business opportunity in the mid 1880s, somewhere in that time frame. There was a big craze that was happening. People were starting to write letters down and numbers down on cutting boards, on tables, and were starting to use apparatus that pointed to the letters and numbers to start to, you know, to divine. Basically, it was out of the spiritualist movement. And this group of business people, men and one women, decided, hey, here's a business opportunity. Why not ride this wave and create our own type of tool? And what they came up with was what we now call the Ouija board. Now, this Ouija board came out in 1890, 91, had received this patent, and it changed many hands over the years. But probably the most famous company that created and crafted and manufactured this board was the William Fold Company. And they had this board for many, many years, and it was finally sold to Parker Brothers. And Parker Brothers sold it to Hasbro. Hasbro now holds the patent and trademark. But I got to tell you, this has been going on for many, many, many years.
I mean, what's the oldest board you own?
My oldest board is circa 1892-93.
Wow. What's that worth?
Oh, close to $1,000.
Jeez.
I have friends who are collectors, and I just interviewed somebody on my show the other day, and his board is from 1890, before the Ouija board was even named. It was a board that was created as a prototype.
Well, didn't they call it the talking board or something like that?
Very good, George. Okay, so you guys, I got to tell everybody this. So a talking board is kind of the umbrella term for anything called spirit board, talking board, or Ouija board. Now, Ouija board is only called Ouija board because it is a patented trademark name. Therefore, you can call it Ouija board. But technically, you could say all boards that have numbers and letters on are called talking boards.
There was an old comedy TV show, and some guy went up to one of these people in the show and went, do you Ouija? And they freaked out. What's the planchette? What moves the planchette, the thing that everybody touches?
Okay, well, there's different viewpoints on that. And I love this because you're going to get a whole variety of answers. The main one is this. It's idiomotor, which means it's basically your muscle movements controlled by your brain, the fine muscle movement motors of your hands, can move, make it move, and it's kind of an unconscious movement like automatism or hypnosis.
But you've got two people's moving it, so wouldn't there be a conflict? One's trying to move it?
That's my take, George. See, I personally believe there's an outside influence, and I'm tapping into that level of consciousness, and it's actually pulling it around. I agree with you. So I'm okay with the whole theory of its idiomotor, because I do believe I talk to my higher self at times, and therefore I must be moving if it's my higher self, right? But it's an unconscious movement. But I'm also of the theater or the camp that says it's an outside source. And when I use the board and the planchette, my fingers are resting on it very lightly. I usually have one finger on it, George, and my partner might have two fingers on it. And what happens is it just pulls. We just follow the movement, and it starts spelling. That's how it works for me. But it's been over a period of 47 and a half years of using this tool that it's worked that way for me.
And there's, a little piece of felt under it, which makes it smooth when it moves around?
Well, I'll tell you what, George, different planchettes require different things. What I've found over the years is I have some planchettes that are pretty old. Some of my planchettes are 47, 50, 67 years old. I will put little felt pads under them because it makes them smooth and glide a little easier. But you don't necessarily need that. I mean, you can use a double old fashioned, a Pyrex dish, a stone, a CD, an old CD with a hole in the middle. You can use a whole lot of different things as your planchette. And as long as they have an ability to slide easily, it makes it a lot easier for them to pull. Now, some people say they move on their own. I've never witnessed that myself. If that happens to anybody here, please let me know. Write to me and send me a video of that, because I've never seen it. But I feel like it's a combination of our own energy on this planchette indicator device that actually helps it move, through the energies that are coming into play. So just, there's different camps and different ways of believing about it, but whatever the belief is, something's happening here, and it's working, and it's moving, and we're getting messages.
We're going to take calls next hour with Karen Dahlman, and you can chat with her about how you're coping with COVID, and also if you have used a Ouija board, share that experience with us. Let us know what's happened. Anything strange or bizarre, or has it just all been fun and jokes? And the games are still being sold by the, Parker Brother? Who's selling them now?
Hasbro.
Hasbro has it now. Okay.
They also license it out to other companies, but Hasbro owns the patent.
Are they selling?
Oh, millions every single year. These are such a popular device.
Really?
Oh, such a resurgence. And especially now, George, what I find is with people, being locked down, people are really opening up back to their own faculties. What is going on?
That's amazing. Stay with us, Karen. We're going to come back and take calls with you in a moment. Plus, I want to talk with you about Hollywood. What have they done to the Ouija board?